This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
A couple of days ago, somebody asked me a question. Mario, do you still get nervous when you get up on stage? And I told this person, yes. And this person was like, for real? Like, yeah. So even after my guess is close to 1,000 times I've been on stage, I do get nervous. But what makes me nervous is the background of James chapter 3, verse 1. And the Bible says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. So it's not so much I'm nervous because, you know, I don't know how to speak in public. I'm nervous because what I want to teach, I'm going to be judged more strictly. The other thing I shared was that I do get nervous because what I want to share with you, I know that A, I will probably be tested first, or I know that down the road, this will be a challenge for me in my life. So I don't come up here with any flesh confidence. I don't rely on my confidence in my natural ability, or maybe you don't think I have a natural ability, but I don't come up here. I come up here in fear and trembling because what I preach, I know I have to live out first. And that is, I believe, an obligation of the minister, a person who comes up and teaches. I believe, at least here at Mosaic Church, the obligation is that we lead the way in what we're teaching. Does that make sense? So that brings a little bit of knocking of the knees. The song that we sang, the last song, of course, was brought because we were talking about the kindness of God brings repentance. And last week, for those who weren't here, we talked about the challenge is that when we talk about holy living and living righteously and living in a way that honors God can bring attention. Is that we love the Lord and we want to honor him, and so we are drawn close to him, but at the same time, God is holy and he's just, and I believe that brings a holy fear that maybe makes us want to repel. And there's that tension of being drawn to him and being drawn away from him. And one of the challenges is, and we're trying to say over and over again, we just read in Romans chapter 2, is that we fail to understand his kindness. And when he's asking us to change, it's not out of his meanness, but out of his kindness. And when God give us days in our lives to live, it's out of his kindness that we get to respond to his call. And not to embarrass my beautiful daughter-in-law, but today is my first granddaughter's day at church. And she's over there. So we're gonna go like this. We don't want to wake her up. but baby Reese is here, and Britton, we're proud of you and love you. And thank you for joining us. What a privilege. But so there's that tension of being drawn to him, but at the same time maybe being repelled because he's so holy. And you and I know. And I know, for at least for my life, that we're not. And all of a sudden, this brightness will be shown on us. I'm so proud of all of you for being here on Sundays because it would be so easy not to attend. It would be so easy just to, you know, one of the challenges we have in our country is that we have a lot of, it can be a blessing and a curse. We just have choices. We can just sit home, watch online. In our PJs, but you're here. And when you're here, I believe God will meet us in a very special way. Not that he can't meet you at home, but there's something about coming together and learning to live life together in honesty. I want to talk to you about honesty. I think we'll have a PowerPoint there. It's foundational to be honest. Now, I'm going to tell you For a long time in my life, I struggled with being honest. It was something, a habit that I could not break. And I'm talking about grade school and elementary, middle school and high school and some college. But being honest is so foundational in our walk with the Lord. It's not the end thing. Being honest is not the end of what we're trying to accomplish. I believe love is the end thing that we're trying to accomplish, love for the Lord and love and loving one another. But honesty is the beginning of our journey with Jesus and in life. Because honesty demands what? It demands the truth. And love needs truth because it needs to be not just some kind of love, but it, as Miracle Max once said, it has to be true love. Anybody reference, understand there? Thank you, Rhea. We're getting old, Rhea. Nobody knows what we're talking about. But true love is the goal, but it can only be accomplished when we are truly honest. My wife and I were kind of dating. I was more flirting than she was. And I remember her I said to her at a lunch table in college, what kind of person are you looking for in a husband? And she was honest. And she said, he has to be taller than me. So me being very insecure, she asked me, so what are you looking for in a wife? And I said, well, she has to be shorter than me. But I wasn't honest. But I had to get her back. But true love. True love needs honesty. Honesty and dishonesty are unlimited. It's not like a mountain or a valley, but it's more like honesty and dishonesty are more like day and night. Because in the day, as we see the sun come up, it has the impact of spreading all over. And the night has its same impact. So honesty and dishonesty are what I would write are unlimited. They both can spread over everything. The sun rays of honesty chases away darkness. It cleans out hidden dirt like you would in a room. Maybe you want to clean, and what do? You turn on the light. And then sometimes if you want to do a really deep cleaning, then you get a flashlight out, right? And then that's where you can see where all the little dust bunnies are. But it needs light. Dishonesty hides everything. Beautiful things and ugly things. I read somewhere, it's better to be an honest troublemaker than a dishonest believer. So I thought of myself, you know, I thought of for a second, it's better to be an honest troublemaker. It's kind of like a child who breaks your favorite little figurine, but when you confront that little child, he tells you the truth. Or then you have a dishonest believer, someone who claims to know Christ, but if you ask them, are you living right? And they say yes, when in fact they're not. You need honesty. We need honesty as a church. I need honesty in my life. One of the things that Robin and I have always committed to is being honest with one another. Now, honest, you need discernment, right? So, but we need to be honest. You like these shoes? Oh, yeah, they're beautiful. You know, so you got to be discerning. Your honesty is like the rising sun. It will eventually expose and permeate every dark crevice in your life. And just like Caliban or Dracula, those creatures that are exposed to the light end up dying. So let me encourage us to be honest, like the rising sun. It will expose and reveal those dark things that will die in the light. Dishonesty will gradually, slowly infect all the good things in your life and suck their lifeblood from them and turn them into, as there was a famous show called The Walking Dead. So when you're dishonest, you hide. You keep the light away. Fear of exposure. And all of a sudden it builds distrust. And sadly, dishonesty will permeate throughout your whole life. It's like a fog. We are not designed for darkness. So philosophically, and Rhea knows this because she's been part of our ministry for almost 20 years ago. One of the challenges in our services with college students is like they like it dark. And I'm like, we are children of the light, and we always have the light on. You know, maybe I'll show up late and it was pitch black and my first job is to turn the lights on. So it's still a dilemma all throughout these years. So now I'm in charge of a conference called SALT, and it's a lot of times it's pitch black and I'm like, and I just let it go. But philosophically, we are children of the light. We are not designed for darkness. We are designed for light. Our homeland, heaven, consists of light. And we must learn to endure more and more light as we get closer and closer to Jesus. Light is good. It's not bad. Honesty brought me back, when I hear that word, brings me back to ninth grade, middle school dance. Song by Billy Joel. Anybody know who Billy Joel is? Yeah. He wrote a song called Honesty. Anybody know the song? A few of you, yes. David's probably played a special on it. But Billy Joel writes a famous song called Honesty. And when I hear that song, I almost can picture God whistling that song to his followers. There's a line that says, honesty, and this is, just think of God maybe singing this song. Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. Honesty is hardly ever heard. And it's mostly what I need from you. And that's, I believe, for us to grow in our journey with Jesus, we're going to need to learn how to be honest. We just sang a song. We are no longer slave to fear. And it just dawned on me, is that true? I think Lavella told me once, sometimes Christians, we don't say lies, we sing lies. I am no longer a slave to fear. I'm hoping it's true. And if it's not, I believe God wants, as Miss Rosa came and shared, that God wants to shed light on insecurities and fear and bring wholeness. I've shared this story a few times, so those who've been with me 17 years know. You already know the story. You can roll your eyes. This had a butterfly effect in my ministry. I was 3 years into ministry, and I was doing my own taxes. And I decided to use a tax accountant. And he asked me for my tax returns in arrears, which I did. You know, I was using TurboTax. So I did. And then he calls me and he says, Mario, I've got some good news and bad news. Why don't you come to the office? I'm like, oh no. So I go to the office. Hey, I'm just telling you, I am a pastor at the time. I've got credentials with a denomination, ordained, missionary. And then some guy, accountant that I barely know, calls me and he tells me, Mario, and it was just me and him in the room and this lady. He goes, Mario, you've been doing your taxes all wrong. And we could do two things. One is act like nothing happened and pray that you don't get audited. Or B, we can do what's right. And this is his words. Do what's right, be honest, and amend those taxes. And then you're gonna have to pay. And then I said, how much? And he said, thousands. I'm like, oh. And in those days, I didn't have thousands. I didn't even have hundreds. And so it came out to that I owed $5,000. He told me that. And he looked at me in the eyes and he goes, Mario, what do you want to do? So my daughter's born at this time, probably Micah. I'm starting off in my ministry. You remember I told you I used to struggle with honesty? But I had a handle on it. And I was in a room that nobody would know what my answer is. Not even Robin was not even in the room. Just me and my accountant and his associate. And I remember thinking, am I going to be a minister of honesty or not? Banging in my head. And I kept thinking, but I don't have $5,000. And then he goes, oh, by the way, you're going to owe about $3,000 for this current year. Great. Honesty. If we're people of the light, we got to live in the light. Amen. Well, you know, the good news is by God's grace, it wasn't something that somehow a great man of faith, I literally just bowed my head and I asked the Lord for help. And I told the accountant, let's just do what's right. Let's be honest and do what's right. And I believe that was a pivotal moment in my life as I look back. I don't think we'd be here today. I don't think I would be here. I think the dishonesty would have come back like a cancer and eaten my life up. But by the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, he gave me enough, whatever, spiritual fortitude to do what is right. Love is the goal, but honesty is the base. And I believe God wants us to be honest with him. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, Paul is writing to the Roman church, trying to explain the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church was about to split because the ones that were of Jewish heritage were sent away, persecution, but they've come back, and there's some tension in the church. And Paul is addressing, and he's just kind of going over the basics of the gospel. And here, he says that in Romans 6:1, we're dead to sin. What then? Should we keep on sinning, chapter 6 of Romans, so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? And Paul says, and of course we agree, of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? So what died with him is dishonesty. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. It's one of the reasons we sang that song today. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we also live with him. So shall we continue to sin so that grace may abound? No. No. Because when we're united with Christ through his death, through the baptism, we are spiritually united with Christ in his death, and the old person is crucified. The old sinful nature was put to death because we are no longer slaves to sin. So, no longer does it have power over us. It has been crucified and has been buried. And we must live as people who are dead to sin. Dishonesty is a sin. When grace becomes an excuse to live in sin, you're not under grace. And this is not my quote, but I loved it. You're not under grace, but you're under deception. When grace becomes an excuse to live in a rebellious life, you're no longer under grace, you're under deception. And so the question I have for us, are there habits or patterns still reflect the old self in our lives? And God wants to shed light on it. We have a friend here that has, he's an eye doctor, and basically he shines a light in your eye to see. And that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to shine a light in our souls, in our lives, to see. Romans 6:8, let's move on since we're running out of time here. And since we have died with Christ, we know we also live with him. In verse 8, we are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. And when he died once to break the power of sin, but now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and live and alive to God through Christ Jesus. If we died with Christ, we also live with him. And just as Jesus was raised from the dead, us believers now have a new life empowered by his Holy Spirit. And Paul exhorts us through the book that we're reading in Romans, but he's exhorting the believers that you must live a life that's alive through Jesus Christ. And we must renew our minds daily, counting ourselves alive to God and dead to sin, living for righteousness. So the question I have is, in our new identity, in our new life that's shaped in Christ, we have different priorities and choices, and we must yield to God. Verse 12, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give into your sinful desires. And as I look back, if you break it down, like, what are my sinful desires? I didn't want to go into debt, so it's not really that. It's probably I wanted to continue how I was living beyond my means because somehow that brought me some sort of identity. If you really peel back the why I didn't want to pay the 5K, it was more than I just didn't have it. There was areas in my life that needed to be altered that God wanted control over. So do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. You know, sadly, have you seen the news? You probably don't. Do you listen to watch religious news? So many godly pastors fail to be honest, only to be revealed later on and now having to step down after 20, 30 years. They failed to die to dishonesty. And kind of like we said last week, did what our ancestor parents, our original parents did, and they hid it. And we are children of the light. I'm telling you, next week we'll have a guest preacher, but you got to take this seriously up here. We're going to be judged more strictly. And God will not be mocked. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Verse 14, sin no longer is your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Let me read on. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I'm using this illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led to even deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. And when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do. Amen, right? Be leery of somebody who's bragging about their past. That is a red flag. And using it as somehow to impress and make a cool factor about their past. Understand all that previously you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led you into deeper sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteousness, living so that you will become holy. And when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and a result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we wrap up, I'm going to ask the band to come on up. Do not let sin, which has its elements of dishonesty, reign in your mortal body. We are no longer slaves to sin, but to righteousness. The Bible is very clear. Sin leads to death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I'm going to ask you for a moment. You can repent. Yeah. I'm going to ask you to be honest. You don't have to be like, you don't have to come to me and tell me what you're repenting of, okay? Unless the Lord directs you to. I found that when I do confess my sins one to another, I find that what I'm doing is putting the light on an area of my life that needs to be exposed to the light, but it's also holding me accountable. And I need accountability. So, but it doesn't have to happen right now. But I'm asking you, can you be honest with God right now? He's whistling that little tune. Honesty. Let's bow our head for a moment. Dishonesty, sin leads to death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We must yield our bodies and our minds to God as instruments of righteousness. So I'm asking you, challenging me this morning, how can we actively yield more of ourselves to God? Lord Jesus, help us, help me to always be drawn to the light. Lord, help me to never do what as our original parents did and hide from you. And Lord, that when we go to you, as the scripture tells us in Romans, your kindness leads to repentance. Lord, you have something for us that is better than what we thought was best for us. So Lord, help us to put down our guard and recognize that you are good and you are kind. Lord, we come to you with a spirit of repentance and honesty.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.